Since its release in 1996 in the United States, transgenic BT cotton has provided effective control against important Lepidopteran pests, including, in the southeast U.S., Helicoverpa zea, the corn earworm, and Heliothis fluorescens, the tobacco budworm. As a result of this effective control, there has been a significant reduction in insecticide use on cotton throughout the cotton-growing regions of the United States. And this is one of the most important ecological and economic benefits of BT cotton throughout the U.S. Oops. However, BT cotton does not solve all pest problems in cotton. In the southeast U.S., stink bugs have become a bigger problem, causing more damage in the cotton fields since the use of BT cotton. The most important species are Nazara virgula, the southern green stink bug, and Eucystis cervus, the brown stink bug, and these are the focus of my research. Since 1996, when BT cotton was released, stink bug infestations in cotton in the southeast have increased substantially, and in parallel, shown here in the green line, with the increased use of BT cotton, shown in the black line. This is in contrast to other non-target pest species like whiteflies, which have not shown similar outbreak dynamics. And as a result of this increased prevalence, stink bug control has increased substantially, shown in the green line, and is one of the highest contributors to foliar insecticide use in cotton in Georgia and other parts of the southeast. An outstanding question, however, is why are these outbreaks occurring of stink bugs? And although insecticide release is likely an important cause, it's an insufficient explanation for these outbreaks. If insecticide release were the sole factor, we would expect other non-target species to show similar outbreak dynamics, which is not the case. So we propose two additional hypotheses. First, changes in plant quality as a result of the insertion of the BT transgene could make BT cotton a higher quality host for stink bugs, increasing densities and damage in the field. Second, as a result of the high specificity of the BT toxin, which stink bugs are not susceptible to, the significant reduction in corn earworm and tobacco budworm populations in BT cotton fields could reduce interference competition and lead to the competitive release of stink bug populations. And in my research, I'm investigating both these hypotheses, but today I'll be focusing on the competitive release hypothesis. And it's important to note that these three mechanisms are not mutually exclusive, and we hypothesize that there is some combination of these three that contribute to the stink bug outbreaks that we see in the southeast. So now I'll go through three experiments that I've conducted in the summers of 2007 and 2008 at the USDA ARS station in Tifton, Georgia, to test the competitive release hypothesis. First was a competition experiment at the single bowl scale. So I placed a fifth instar stink bug nymph of either the southern green species or the brown species in a single bowl cage with either a second or a fourth instar Lepidopteran larva of either the corn earworm or the tobacco budworm. These were single bowl cages on field plants of non-BT cotton and left in the field for 3 days. I measured relative growth rates. First, relative growth rates of the stink bugs. We see that the addition of the large corn earworms, the fourth instar corn earworms, shown here and here, significantly reduced the growth rates of both the southern green and the brown stink bugs. But that the addition of other caterpillar treatments did not have a significant effect on stink bug growth rates. Looking at caterpillar growth rates, we see that the addition of a stink bug to the cage did not have a significant effect on relative growth rates of either the corn earworm or the tobacco budworm. And corn earworms had higher growth rates than tobacco budworms, suggesting that they had a higher impact on the resource. Next, I did a very similar experiment, but I expanded the scale of the resource. So once again, I had fifth instar stink bugs of both species and fourth instars of the Lepidopteran larva. These were caged on branches with two developing bowls for 3 days in the field using non-BT cotton again, and I measured relative growth rates. Here, I found that, again, the addition of a large corn earworm, shown here, significantly reduced the growth rates of brown stink bug nymphs. However, the effect of the corn earworm on the southern green stink bug has disappeared. And it's not entirely clear why this is, but because of an increase in the resource, this should have reduced the direct interference competition. And so this may be the effect on the brown stink bug may be due to induced defenses in the cotton branch as a result of the corn earworm feeding, but this will require further testing. Finally, in collaboration with my colleague Dr. Don Olson, we did an oviposition choice test experiment using southern green stink bug gravid females. We presented two leaves from two different plants, and these were run in the greenhouse. One plant was an undamaged plant, and one had a corn earworm feeding on a lower leaf. It's important to note that both leaves presented to the gravid females were left intact, were undamaged. Here we found that southern green females significantly preferred to oviposit on undamaged plants. So this suggests that there were systemic defenses induced in the plant as a result of corn earworm feeding, and that these defenses or these changes deterred stink bugs from ovipositing on these plants. So what's the status of the competitive release hypothesis at this point? At small scales, large corn earworms consistently reduced brown stink bug growth rates, but had an inconsistent effect on southern green growth rates. When competition did occur, it was asymmetrical, with the stink bugs being the inferior competitor. And finally, corn earworm feeding deters southern green stink bug oviposition at the plant scale. And again, our research so far suggests that this was due to induced chemical defenses as a result of the corn earworm feeding. For future studies, we plan to repeat the oviposition experiment with brown stink bugs and possibly tobacco budworm, and look at more detail at stink bug responses to herbivory-induced compounds in cotton. And finally, I see this work as being important in contributing to improved predictions on non-target pest outbreaks in BT cotton and changes in insecticide use associated with the technology. Again, changes in insecticide use will be one of the most important ecological and economic benefits of the technology. And non-target pest outbreaks will in part determine those changes. And this will be most important for new technologies as well as countries' ecological risk assessments for countries that are considering the release of BT cotton. And finally, this is the first empirical test of the role of competitive release in the outbreak of an agricultural pest. And with that, I would like to thank many people, but particularly Dr. Don Olson at the USDA ARES station, Andy Hornbuckle and Melissa Smith, my advisor Dave Andow, and with that, I will take any questions.
Questions?
Yes.
The overposition deterrence due to damage by Zaid, have any clue whether that's species specific or damage specific? In other words, did you mechanically damage plants to see if you can see that same?
The question was, is the effects of the damage species-specific or damage-specific? and we did not mechanically damage the plants. And you're referring to species-specific as the corn earworm species. I can't speak to that at this point. That's why we hope to, we're thinking of doing it, using the tobacco budworm as well. We know that if you compare induced defenses between the corn earworm and tobacco budworm, that those two caterpillars do induce somewhat different responses, but we don't know how the stink bugs would react to that. Yes?
It seems that 3 days measurement in the growth rate of the stink bug might be rather short. Why did you choose 3 days?
The question was why I chose 3 days to run the competition experiment. And that's a good question. I felt that it was a long enough to allow for some competition at looking at growth rates to occur if it were to occur. Experimentally, it allowed me to run many treatments, and I also feel that the fact that competition did occur at 3 days, that reductions in growth rate did occur at 3 days, is somewhat of a conservative test, that running longer may have allowed for more competition to occur. I also didn't want my stink bugs to move into a didn't want them to molt into adults, because that would have affected the estimations of their growth rates. That would have made the estimations of their growth rates very difficult. And so I wanted to make sure that they stayed within the fifth instar.
Thank you.